Hello there, and welcome to the Anniversary Brothers podcast, the podcast where we talk about the anniversaries of your favorite TV shows and movies. I am your host, Josh Sonecki, and I am joined, as always, by my brother, a fellow digi-destined, Aaron Sonecki. Aaron, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Feel honored to be a digi-destined.
Yeah. Were you there, you know, the day that started snowing and the campsites? And the desert, you know, became full of water and all these
disasters. I did find it funny that, like, all these weird phenomenons are happening in the show. And then we just had the earthquake on the East Coast the other day.
Yeah, that was the awakening of a new group of digi-destined brought into the digital world. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't already figured out or just read the title of the episode, we are talking about the anniversary of Digimon Digital Monsters, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary in Japan. It came out in March of 1999. So we are a little bit behind, but it's been a busy busy couple of months with releases, and this was one that we were hoping to get to, just have some fun in store for it. So, Aaron, for those who may not be familiar to some of the references we just made to these strange events in the first episode of Digimon, can you give us a brief plot summary of the series?
Right. So Digimon is it's about a group of seven, later eight kids who are the Digi-destined. They are destined to save the digital world, which is a sort of alternate dimension with all these creatures, digital monsters, or Digimon for short, that they have various evolutions, or digi-evolutions, I think is the term, they kind of upgrade. So each kid gets a monster, and it's all about them working together to save the day.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of abstract because, I don't know, maybe it is.
I mean, whenever you throw in like words like dimensions, it's like, oh, this sounds like some pretty heady sci-fi stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not. I mean,
for a kid, this is like more than an episode of SpongeBob.
That's true. There is a level of mystery about what is going on. Where are they? What is this world they've entered? That with SpongeBob, you're just like, yeah, they live underwater. Get over it. Mm-hmm. So Aaron, I'm curious, do you remember when this first came to the States? If this was a show that you were interested in or not so much?
I remember being, I think, ambivalent about it, but like for maybe seeing some of it at a friend's house and then getting some of the merchandise. This first season of Digimon Adventure, we didn't watch too regularly, but enough that I recognize the characters.
Right.
I don't have like very, like, this isn't like Power Rangers where like I have very like fond memories of watching it and having tons of merchandise.
Right. Yeah. I mostly in the same boat. I would say that I don't remember being super excited for the show, but I do remember our friend Paul was a fan of it. And at one point, I think he made the somewhat controversial remark that it was better than Pokemon, which...
Okay, that's interesting.
We can get to. But I do
remember... I mean, he probably just, like, as we previously mentioned, his family did not have cable, so he was probably just fortunate to get any cartoons that he could possibly get.
Fair. But I do remember, like, gradually getting into it. Again, maybe not so much as Pokemon, but I remember at one point I had... some of the cards, like I'd
We had some of the cards, and unlike the Pokemon game, which we never really learned how to properly play but had some idea, if there was a way to play with those cards, we had no idea how.
I think I tried to read the instructions once.
Online, or did it come with them?
I think it came with them, but I think it just like blew my little mind. I don't think I could handle it. I think it was like the scene from 2001 A Space Odyssey where David's like going through the lights and his brain's just fried. That was me reading instructions for how to play Digimon the card game.
Are you trying to like mention that because you like want people to listen to our podcast on that?
Hey, we did podcast on that. If you want to listen, it's more,
it's a weird thing to link to Digimon.
That was just the first comparison that came to mind. I don't know why. I don't know, both sci-fi involved.
Yeah, kind of sci-fi, yeah.
Strange baby creatures in some capacity.
It's,
Yeah, I think actually for the cards, I remember buying like the starter set that gave you like all of like the cards, like a full deck. And then I think we were out of the mall or somewhere and someone had just like left an open pack of Digimon cards just like sitting on a table.
Now they probably just like, I thought these were Pokemon cards. Oh, whatever, I'm getting rid of these.
Yeah. So they just left them there. And you
stole them.
I didn't. Finders keepers rules.
Yeah.
And from my very limited knowledge of the Digimon card game, I thought they were pretty good cards.
Okay.
I could be totally wrong, but I think there's like a Skull Greymon in there or something. So
yeah, I kind of remember you having that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So whoever lost those cards or, you know, decided that these are stupid, I don't want these, thank you. I guess I benefited as a child from those.
Yeah, maybe.
But beyond that, no, I don't think we watched too much of the original series. I remember watching a lot more of the sequel series, Digimon Adventure 2.
Yeah, we watched that one and the Digimon Tamers and some of the Digimon Frontier. We definitely watched those more than the original series.
Right. Yeah, and because I remember by the time that Digimon Frontiers came out, I got one of the little Tamagotchi like Digivices.
Yeah.
Which also did not really know how to do that and probably killed my Digimon one or two times.
All right. So you mentioned Tamagotchi, like, which I didn't know until I looked it up, that like Digimon actually is a spinoff of Tamagotchi.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was considered like in Japan, they were marketing Tamagotchi more to girls. And then they came up with it was called Digital Monster, was more focused for boys later. Mm-hmm. And then they decided to make a show out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which in a long, you know, storied history of turning, games or products into a show, you know, we respect that. Not the mm-hmm. first time we've covered a show that's done that. Namely Pokemon.
Yeah.
But I also remember, again, we did get somewhat into it because I remember at Dairy Queen, they had the toys at one point. Like they had like little small plushies. And I remember being really excited to go there and get.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember who we got, but we got a few of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to say one was like Terriermon, one of like the white and green one from mm-hmm. Digimon Tamers.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that. And if we have it still, it's probably, you know, lost in the abyss between some couch cushions or something.
Yeah.
So all that to say is we did watch it and enjoy it somewhat. Just it wasn't our favorite. Do you remember having a favorite Digimon, like a monster?
I liked some of the evolutions later on from the Digimon Tamers, whatever the dinosaur one in that one had some cool evolutions.
Right. When he got, was it Paladinmon?
I don't know. Those got weird and like they introduced like kids started fusing with the Digimon. It was kind of like a little strange.
Yeah, that did get weird. I'm thinking of Imperial Dramon. They're all named Mon at the end, so it gets very confusing. Remember,
at least they're consistent.
They are consistent, although, and we might get into this, the way that the Digi evolution process works totally nonsensical. Like it makes zero sense.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get into that later.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing I do want to just bring up, though, that we, again, showed that we were somewhat fans of it. We did have Digimon the movie on VHS.
Yeah, I knew you mentioned that at some point if I didn't.
Yeah. So, which actually, do you know like the story behind that?
Well, it's actually two different movies combined together.
It's at least two. Like, it might be more than two different movies.
Oh, really?
Combined.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's actually three different movies combined.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because you got the movie where, like, it's the intro to what happened.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. I think it is three movies combined into one.
Yeah, because part of it is, like, the prequel to this series, like, showing you how...
That was like a short film that, like, was released, like, the day before the series aired.
Right, right. So showing how... two of the main characters, the Digidestined, Tai and Kari, how they first met Agumon and first learned about the Digimon. And then there's this whole separate story about Tai and...
Izzy, right?
Izzy, I think, yeah. Going like online to defeat like this computer virus. And then there's another story that's from Digimon Adventures 2.
Mm-hmm.
And again, somehow they just like smashed it all together into one... apparently it's not as good as any of the three are separately in Japan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have some interesting stuff to say about it. I'll mention it later.
Okay. Well, with that tease, Aaron, how about we take a quick break, hear from some of our other wonderful podcasters here at the Pop Break, and we will be back in a digi second.
Hello, everyone. This is Amanda Rivas, the Yuji Itadori of Anime Pop.
And I'm Josh Swinecki, the Lloyd Forger of Anime Pop. Join us every month where we go over the recommendations for our favorite animes of the month, whether you're a newbie or an all-time pro, and go over the hottest news in the anime world.
We're also going to be talking about the mainstream anime that's capturing everyone's attention right now. So stay tuned. Check us out every last Monday of the month, right here on the Pop Break TV podcast feed, or else I'm going to go sukuna on y'all. So boom.
Are you a diehard Marvel zombie who compulsively rewatches every movie and TV show you can get your hands on from the House of Ideas?
Or are you a new or lapsed Marvel fan looking for an excuse to finally catch up on what your buddies have been going on and on and on about for as long as you've known them?
Then, folks, do we have the show for you?
Head over to the Pop Break Today podcast feed on all your favorite platforms to check out myself, Bill Botkin, and my co-host, Alex Marcus, on Bill vs. the MCU, where we review every single installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Along with a journey around the Marvel multiverses, where we check in on MCU-adjacent content like Netflix's The Defenders Saga, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Fox's X-Men franchise, and so much more.
New episodes premiere the second Tuesday of every month on thepopbreak.com and the Pop Break Today podcast feed.
And we are back. So again, definitely encourage you to check out some of those other podcasts here at the Pop Break. So Aaron, I have to ask, now that it has been 25 years later, roughly, what are your thoughts on the show now, having gone back and watched a few episodes?
As a show that never really made a strong impression on me, it's fine. No, I mean, in some ways I respect it. I mean, in Japan, it's probably not particularly like notable for doing anything that creative, but looking at like the kind of TV landscape for kids watching, you know, cartoons, it was doing some pretty, I don't know, kind of daring things, just that it's this giant serialized story that, I mean, if we're talking about like other things that would later be popular, you have other anime. I mean, I guess the only thing that kind of comes close to it would have been Dragon Ball Z, which was already out at the time. But it's something that's kind of marketed towards, whereas that kind of brushed up against the teenage audience, this seems like it's marketed towards slightly younger kids. So this is, I don't know, I think it's ambitious, especially which, well, I don't want to mention Pokemon too much, but like, I think compared to the two, it has a large cast of characters. It has, like you said, like all these evolutions. It has this very kind of detailed world, and it's trying to set up a mystery. Like, I don't know how far you watched, but I think it's like the second episode where like they are on the beach and like there's all these telephone booths, and it's just, it really like kind of like makes you wonder, it's like what is going on. So I feel like I do give them props for trying to do that for younger viewers.
I do think the story, while it is ultimately about a bunch of kids trying to save the world with their monsters, it is a bit more complex than some other shows that you have at that time. I mean, again, we're going to keep making this comparison, but like Pokemon is like a rather straightforward story, you know, by comparison.
It's very episodic that you don't really have to, you can pick up on it pretty quickly. Right. I feel like if you didn't watch this show, like there is a previously on, but like I jumped to like the end of this show just to watch like the finale, and I felt like I did miss a lot, because it's like they tried to explain, but it's just like, what is going on? Like, who are they fighting?
Right. Yeah, because there is a fair amount of lore and world building involved.
Yeah.
Explaining like why certain monsters are good and why are some are evil, and what's happening with the digital world, why it is the way it is, how the DigiDestined are fulfilling this prophecy and what they need to do in order to, you know, get there. So yeah, there's a bit more to it. I mean, thinking of another anime that we previously discussed, it somewhat reminds me of Cardcaptor Sakura, where like there is some episodic elements of like, okay, like here's who they're fighting or here's like the main focus, but there is also this ongoing story.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have to say, when it comes to the characters, I was not super impressed, to be honest.
Okay, I give them credit. Like, I think that they do actually decent job of kind of trying to give them personality traits to remember who, like, oh, Joe is the one who's like really kind of skittish and like doesn't know what's going on. Izzy is like the nerdy one. Matt is like the one who thinks he's really cool, and so on. You know, Ty is the one who thinks he's a leader.
Right.
Mimi is the one who's kind of bubbly and kind of like a valley girl almost.
And You're right. They do make an effort to make the characters memorable. My problem is that all of those characters end up just being these characters, like caricatures. Like, they're just these recycled tropes and you know, stock characters. Like,
mm-hmm.
You mentioned like Mimi being kind of like the valley girl. Like, I don't know if you watch the English translation or if you watch the original.
I watched the English. Which one did you watch?
I also watched the English.
I would say I wasn't even sure where the Japanese one was available.
Yeah, I don't know what, but yeah, I watched the dub, and I found the writing for some of these characters, including Mimi, to be truly like
she's
painful.
Like, okay, I can't like remember if she's like lost her like conditioner or is there something with her hair?
I watched an episode where they were fighting I think it was Devimon, first big villains, and afterward they're like, oh man, like that was a tough fight. It's like, oh, I need to go do some shopping to feel better. It's like very much what they did at the worst points of writing Kimberly and Power Rangers, where it's like,
mm-hmm.
we don't know what we're doing this. Or same thing with like Izzy. It's like, oh yeah, he's the smart one. We're just going to have him do some like techno babble or use like these really big words. Again, very much like Billy from Power Rangers, where it's like, mm-hmm. okay, we don't really know what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. Joe
is just like, he's kind of like Chucky from, Rugrats. Like, I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, he reminded me like Chucky from Rugrats, or also like one of the characters from to be a completely different genre.
Okay.
One of the characters from It, who's always got the inhaler and like,
oh really?
My mom says I can't.
I would not have thought of that, but
yeah. Well, he's like, it's kind of like a hypochondriac, always worried, not wanting to ever take risks.
Right. I understand like your frustration. I guess like I just appreciated that they were doing more than a lot of their counterparts in the TV, you know, cartoon landscape that mm-hmm. at least, you know, American kids were used to. I mean, like it's not like Avatar Last Airbender quality, like
Yeah, but I because I don't want to be too harsh, I do want to also recognize that they were doing some, I think, more character building. It's just like the personality types for mm-hmm. me were very cookie cutter. But right. when it came to actually like going through the character backstories, like they actually did give some pretty heavy is not the right word, but like weighty.
Right, yeah, because I was watching an episode. It's about Matt and TK and how like they're half brothers, I think. So there's, mm-hmm. they didn't go all into that, but like, I don't know. That just seems like something that most other kids' cartoons would not have gone into, something like that. Not necessarily because it was too like controversial, but just because it was considered like more mature than like maybe kids would be really interested in like exploring in a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that is something that other shows would have shied away from, but I think it does give layers to that relationship, which at first just seems like, oh, you know, they're brothers. There's not much more to say it other than like, TK idolizes Matt, but mm-hmm. yeah, there's more to it. Same thing with like Izzy, I was watching an episode where you find out that Izzy's adopted and that his mm-hmm. family is actually keeping that from him.
Oh, wow.
And he, but he accidentally overhears them and finds out. And it's about him trying to maintain this, this image of being the perfect son who everyone else in the community like recognizes, like, you're so lucky to have him, where he's not really getting a chance to process that. How do I feel that I have these parents who love me so much and support me and think so highly of me, but they're keeping the secret from me?
Wow, that's actually, that's, I will have said that is heavy. That's,
yeah. So again, like the characters, there is some more going on there. Just the personality types are what get me.
I mean, how do you feel if Ty is our main hero? Like, did you like him? Do you dislike him? You know, indifferent?
He's okay. I mean,
was his hair, I mean, in terms of like anime hero hairstyles, his is not nearly out there enough. I mean, it's no Yugi Moto haircut.
Oh, gosh.
Nothing will never be topped.
No, that is the most absurd hair you will ever find. I thought Ty was okay. He was not one that really stood out to me. He falls into this other archetype I find of characters, like the brave, stupid ones.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, I'm going to be courageous and I'm going to rush into things without thinking. And because of that, I'm the leader. Which, if you really think about it, is that really the quality we want in our leaders?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But I do appreciate his character design. Like, I like, this is stupid, but the goggles, I think they work.
Yeah.
There's something about anime characters and goggles that, yeah. I don't know. It's a winning combination.
It's helpful when you have to go swimming.
That's true. That's true. And I mean, they get pulled into the ocean the first episode, so that probably came in handy. Or I guess it wasn't the ocean. It was a lake or something. Yeah. I mean, behind that, like, or beyond that, I don't think that Ty is all that interesting. Honestly, like, I was more interested in the rest of the crew. Like, I think that it does have an element of, like, again, Power Rangers, where each character does get, like, their own episode to kind of flesh out, well, here's their relationship with their Digimon, and this is, you know, the lesson they have to learn. But, again, I don't think you really get a good feeling for the characters until you get to, like, here's this backstory that adds some weight to it.
So if that's how you feel about the characters, I mean, at least as far as the English performances, do you have any feelings on them?
Overall, I think they're fine.
I'm not just reading their lines off with no enthusiasm.
No, I think that the delivery is pretty good. I think, again, the problem is just the characterization, where like, looking at, again, the voice actor for Mimi was, let's see, I'm having a hard time finding it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I have it pulled up here. This is, yeah, Felice Sampler.
Okay. Yes, yes, Felice Sampler. Like, I think she's doing a good job with it. It just, I think the writing is just so simplistic and so, I don't know. It made me want to go back and watch the sub, because I think what happened was that when they were doing the dub, I think they rewrote so much of the script.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They needed to fill time and dialogue that wasn't existing. And so they just put in, like, these stupid throwaway lines of, like, oh, I need to get a new handbag, or, like, oh, I chipped the nail. Like, that is why I'd be curious to go back. Yeah. But again, I don't hold that against any of the voice actors. I think they're doing well with what they're provided.
Well, and it might have been Saban who did Power Rangers, who, I think they were responsible for the dub for this. So, like, do you blame them?
Yeah, I'll blame Saban on that.
I will say that there was one voice that I was like, this voice is familiar. So it's the girl Sora.
Yeah.
So it's actually voiced by Colleen O'Shaughnessy, who is the voice of Sonic's sidekick, Tails. So I was like, oh, okay, this is why I had a certain liking to this voice, is because I've heard it before.
Okay. You know what? Now that you say that, I can hear that. Okay. Yeah, I didn't catch that, but I think that there was a few other characters that, like, I recognized the voices, but I couldn't really pinpoint where. I mean, the thing when it comes to voice acting, especially when it comes to anime, is that they the same voice actors, like, will be in so many different things.
Right. You didn't recognize any of the voices for the Digimon, did you?
I don't think so. Not for the Digimon.
Yeah. Do you think that the voices were appropriate? Because, like, they're kind of just... They had, like, some sort of, like, filter on the bug one, I feel like.
Yeah.
But, like, Agumon just sounds like... He doesn't really have, like, a dinosaur voice. He just has, like, a slightly goofy person voice.
Yeah.
Like, do you think they should have made him sound more like whatever, like, a dinosaur sounds like? Whatever that would be?
Yeah, yeah, he did his best to not speak in his dinosaur accent. It takes a lot of work, you know. He had to go to a dialect coach, and it was very hard. I think you get a little bit more of that once he digivolves into Greymon.
Yeah, it's like I gotta talk really tough now.
Yeah, yeah, there's a little graveliness to it.
Yeah,
but beyond that, I know it. That is. Again, to go back to Pokemon, one thing that always struck me as kind of weird about Digimon is that the monsters do talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's cool if you like that.
I mean, I think it's necessary given that they're thrust into this world where they are the only humans, except for like one other person they meet later on.
Mm-hmm,
right. And even that, I'm not even sure if he's human, if he's like some sort of other digital construct. So I think they had to make the Digimon talk for you know, the plot to move along.
Right.
For me, what stands out more just like the designs of the Digimon. So
They're pretty creative, though not necessarily consistent.
How so?
Oh, well, I mean, like, you got some weird, was it like one, like a giant cactus with like boxing gloves or something?
No, you're right. That is Mimi's
like champion evolution.
Yeah.
And then you just get to some of the digi evolutions, like you mentioned Skull Greymon. I think like the problem that somebody that I was sending you a video you didn't watch because, you know, you don't watch the things I sent you. But they said one of the reasons why Pokemon did not get as big or Digimon did not get as big as Pokemon is because, for one, Agumon is just not nearly as cute as Pikachu, not even close.
Right.
Agumon is more, in some ways, more realistic design to a dinosaur. If you look at something similar like Charmander, which is much smoother. Like, which are you going to pick? Like, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be, unless you're that one weird kid, you're going to pick Charmander. but just like, also they said that some of the, as far as the consistency, you'll have some that the digi evolutions don't really seem to correspond to each other. So you have whatever Kari, Tai's sister, she has like a cat Digimon. Gatomon that turns into like Angel Woman or whatever.
Yeah.
Which there's no cat to angel has no correlation.
It doesn't? Aren't all cats angels in disguise?
Yeah.
No, I agree. That is one of the that's probably the two biggest issues I have with it, is that sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Like, other times I can see the like the progression, like for Matt's partner, Gabumon, like he turns into like a big wolf. It's like, OK,
yeah,
that makes sense. I can see that. But yeah, some of the ones like Gatomon turning into Angel Woman, like that's just weird. Same thing with, I mean, it makes a little bit more sense for Patamon.
Yeah, I was saying, because it has the wings.
Right, he's got wings for ears, which is cute. I will stand by wings for ears.
I kind of think that in some cases also it feels like they skipped an evolution.
Mm.
Like there should be, you go from Patamon to Angelmon, there should be like an evolution in between that. Like, it's too big a jump from something so small to something so big.
Right. Yeah.
There should be like, you know, if you have Charmander, Charmeleon, Charizard, you have the Charmeleon stage.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, part of that might just be because
were conditioned.
Well, that too. But the reveal of Angelmon like was like actually like a bigger deal, because actually Patamon was the last of the partners to learn how to digivolve into his champion form.
Uh-huh.
And when he did, he just took out the villain like in one hit.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
But it also meant that he turned back into an egg, a digi egg.
Oh, wow.
So the reveal was kind of special for him. So maybe that's why it was such a... Because before that, Padman was kind of like... Because he was with Tike, who's the youngest, they were both kind of like the weaker ones of the bunch. What bothers me more about the... And this is such a stupid thing to complain about. About the Padamon to Angelmon and the Gatomon to Angelwoman.
Something like that.
Yeah, so whatever. Is that, again, and this is really splitting hairs. So Padamon is his like rookie or in training form.
Yeah.
And then Angelmon is his champion form. Yeah. Right. Gatomon is already the champion form of that evolutionary line.
Oh, really?
Okay. So when she turns into Angel Woman, that is actually her ultimate form.
Oh, okay.
So
I didn't know that.
They don't correspond the way they should.
Yeah, and then there's this whole branching tree of the evolutions that, like you said, Greymon, and then like Greymon, and then like Skull Greymon, and then there's like Meta Greymon or something like that. And then also just like they just went wild with the designs. So it's like, so what if he had a skull on him? What if he had guns for hands?
Right. Yeah. Back in my day, we didn't have Pal World. We had Digimon.
Yeah.
If we wanted Pokemon with guns, we just watched Digimon. And that's the thing that I also find bizarre about them is that, yes, like there are some grotesque designs, like with like the skulls and, and some other things. But yeah, like the amount of like guns and like missiles involved with all these. Like, I know I mentioned...
Well, I think that's one maybe that probably maybe hurt them, as another thing the video said, that like impossible, like some parents would be like, this is too violent, don't watch this.
Maybe. I mentioned that I liked I mentioned Terry Armon earlier.
Yeah, like, has the
Turns into... Yeah, like he starts off with, again, like he's got ear or wing ears kind of going. Uh-huh. And then from there, he digivolves into like a chunky rabbit with a Gatling gun for an arm.
Yeah, and there's like a belt of bullets.
Yeah.
it's pretty funny.
Yeah. And then after that, he turns into a giant rabbit robot that shoots missiles.
Right. So as one does.
So yeah, like the designs are just kind of like.
Right. That one video that I wouldn't have to keep quoting if you just watched. No, I probably would have quoted anyway. But they also just said that one of the, I guess, slightly more controversial things is some of the designs, if you look like at Angel Woman, are slightly sexualized. So like that might have made some parents be like uncomfortable with their kids watching Digimon.
Yeah, that's true. And it is strange because like there are some more human looking characters like Angel Woman. But yeah, they do show a lot of skin for.
Yeah, a lot of skin.
For what is a cat evolution.
Again,
we'll never not be weird. But beyond that, the other thing that just makes it confusing for me is the I was looking up like, okay, like what is like the evolutionary line for any of these Pokemon or Digimon, sorry. And as we said, like it's so convoluted. Like you mentioned, like Greymon can like have all these different forms. Like even if you go back to like their like baby forms, there's like so many branches. It's so hard to keep track of.
It's like if you feed them after midnight or whatever, they turn into this.
Maybe. So, yeah, I appreciate the creativity involved with it, though.
Uh-huh. Right. I know on our list of things to talk about, you have animation here. So I'm curious, as somebody who watches a lot of anime, what did you think of the animation? Because I thought it was pretty serviceable. I mean, there was a lot of like characters standing around with their mouths like agape while one person in the foreground talks. But like other than that, I thought it was pretty pleasing.
I generally was pleased with it. I liked the action sequences. I thought they generally worked well, except I do feel like there was a fair amount of recycling
done.
Partly just because like all of the Digimon like tend to use just like one signature move.
Oh yeah. I mean, how many times did they reuse the pepper breath from Agumon?
Right. Exactly. Or like Padamon has boom bubble. And they just do it over. So like, you know, they're not recording that dialogue.
Hey, that's smart. If you know what these animators go through, you would cut them a.
Oh, it's like, no, I get that. Like the amount of work that goes into animating,
especially like they probably drew this like before. I mean, there are some computer effects, so I'm not sure how much they were doing by computers. I mean, do you think the computer effects, I mean, I guess by today's standards, they're not super impressive. Like, let's say the Digivice, and it like has a beam of light that like turns them into a Digi champion.
It was all right.
For time, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it has aged well, but in the moment, it was somewhat impressive. Now, overall, I think the animation is very serviceable. I think the biggest issue I have with the animation is that, again, I feel like sometimes it's very easy to tell that, okay, this was the original animation, and now the writers are trying to, the English, you know, writers are trying to figure out, how do we fit this? How can we like make sure we have the runtime for this and just throw these random lines in there?
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's not so much an animation problem as it is a writing problem.
Right. So we did mention, I mentioned Digimon the movie. So yeah, it was kind of like a Frankenstein's monster of like several movies.
Yes.
It didn't make all that much money, but like enough, my understanding, that like it was considered profitable. So do you remember that it had like its own soundtrack that was just like a bunch of like whatever was popular in the early 2000s?
Oh yeah, it had a great sound. It had Bare Naked Ladies.
I was saying, yeah.
That's the one I remember.
One Week from Bare Naked Ladies, which sort of questionable when your kid's cartoon to have, you know, a band called Bare Naked Ladies be on the soundtrack. But either
just
way.
Just call him Andrew Amon. It's okay.
Andrew Amon. Yeah. So there was another person on YouTube who was like, he really wanted to know if anybody from that band was aware of the movie and that their song was in the movie. So they tweeted the lead singer, or just the band. I think it was the lead singer. And the lead singer said, oh, yeah, I love that movie. And then they went even further and found out that the singer's son was a fan of Digimon. Mm. And that, like, apparently the son's reaction upon learning that his dad's song was in the movie is like, no, like, my dad's not cool. He can't be in this movie. He can't be in the things that I like.
I love how that is always the response from kids when they find out their parents are involved with things.
Yeah.
Like, every movie I've ever heard where someone finds out their parents in it, they're like, yeah, that's not cool anymore. Or like, yeah, I don't believe you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just thought that was funny.
That is really funny. And I do really like that song. That song gets stuck in my head sometimes, just randomly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I guess in terms of the way that this series kind of connects with the other ones, Digimon is sort of weird in that not all the series really connect to each other. Digimon Adventure 02 does, as it is a direct sequel.
Yeah, but after that, the franchise does become a bit of an anthology where, yeah, like you get to Digimon Tamers, the third season, and it's completely different. Like it's supposed to be set in like the real world where like Digimon are like a card game, or like they're already like people are aware of Digimon as like a fictional property.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So it's like Yu-Gi-Oh! Kind of.
Kind of. And it's that one is something where most of it, at least for the first part, is set in the quote unquote real world. Like they don't actually go to the digital world till later.
Yeah, I remember that. And then Digimon Tamers, they are the Digimon.
Or Digimon Frontiers.
Digimon Frontier. Yeah, the kids turn into the Digimon, which I always thought was like, this is getting a little too weird.
It's a little strange. I mean, that's where like you kind of get into like the Power Rangers, you know, power fantasy of it. Like, oh, yeah. I too could do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I do.
They remade this, the first one.
They did.
I don't know how good it is.
I've heard it was not great.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. I think it shows that there's still some appetite for it. I mean, again, we've talked a lot so far about like the comparisons between Digimon versus Pokemon. Like, do you think that is it even fair to compare them?
Digimon were smarter kids would prefer Digimon.
Yeah,
kind of. I don't know. I feel like it's just like Digimon's just so much more sophisticated. Not necessarily for the I don't know, maybe not sophisticated. It's more complicated and there's more lore. It's more ambitious in a lot of ways. And I feel like because Pokemon kind of was more like the lowest common denominator, not necessarily in a bad way, but like didn't really swing big, you know, for the fences or whatever, and just tried to get a broad audience. Was probably why I was more successful.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And to reference again that video I didn't watch that you sent me, I think the cuteness factor cannot be understated. I know, just I will say as a side note about like the legacy of both of them, like technically both are still around. I mean, Pokemon just started a new season, its first season without Ash. Whereas Digimon, they don't release as many series. Again, it's usually an anthology. There's not as much of a following. And I can say, as someone who actually was just in Japan a few weeks ago, I was it was very apparent that what was popular, it was very easy to see like what was popular based off of like merchandising. So like going into like a mall in Japan, like you have like the Pokemon store that was like huge. It was big. And then like if you went to arcades, you know, you'd see the Pokemon in the claw machines, or if you just even just like walking down the street, like people like use Pokemon in advertisements for things. I only saw Digimon once in a smaller store in the mall across from the Pokemon store, where it was like a quarter of the size of the store for Pokemon. And again, mind you, Pokemon was everywhere. So Pokemon's like ubiquitous. And then you've got this like one tiny shop that has Digimon stuff.
But did you see Yu-Gi-Oh?
There was a little bit of Yu-Gi-Oh. Yes. Not
I'm
much.
Surprised that you saw any Digimon. So I give them credit for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not to say that it's not popular at all, but like in terms of like its hold on the cultural, you know, zeitgeist, or like it's, you know,
using the big smart words,
me have big words, or like it's you know, footprint, like Pokemon has made like an exponentially bigger impact on generations than Digimon has. But I do think you're right, and even though when you said like Digimon's more sophisticated, I just thought of like Agumon with like a monocle on. I do think you're right. Like, I think there is a greater sense of maturity to Digimon.
I mean, you would never in a million years, I mean, unless Pokemon has changed, have any of those, like, backstories we were talking about.
Right.
And that's not necessarily a problem. Just, like, that's not what Pokemon is aiming to be.
Yeah. So, no, with that, I give Digimon credit for being, in some ways, a bit more ambitious than Pokemon, at least at that time. Obviously, like, you know, Pokemon's a long-lasting franchise. Like, it's gone to so many different places since then. But Digimon also, again, it's been willing to reinvent itself so many times because it has become an anthology franchise.
Right. It's probably never going to get afloat, as far as I know, in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But like, that's OK.
Yeah, that's how you know when you've made it as an anime, is if you have your own balloon. The one other thing I do just want to say before we close that I find notable about Digimon is that it is the first example that I know of, at least watching when I was a kid, of an isekai. So,
Is it considered that? I guess
technically
it
would be. Like they're transported to a different world, which is really all that's necessary for that genre in anime.
Oh, okay.
So I have been watching more isekai recently, such as the one about the guy turning to the vending machine, which Bill and Alex still don't believe me, I think, but it's real, I promise.
You listen to their latest podcast. I think they actually met somebody who also watched that.
Finally, I can.
That or one of the other ones you mentioned.
Yeah. Okay, good. So people know I'm not crazy. Well, at least I'm not crazy for that.
Yeah.
But no, so obviously like isekai is a huge, huge genre now within anime. And so technically, this was a lot of our first, what's the word I'm looking for? A lot of our first exposure to this. So that, I think, is also pretty neat, even if, again, it's not initially one that is, you know, making as huge an impact as some other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, Aaron, any other thoughts on Digimon and its legacy before we wrap this up?
No.
Okay, cool. Well, Aaron, thank you for going on this digi adventure with me. It was a blast. Always appreciate it. So As we close, Aaron, can you tell people where they can find you online or if you have anything that you want to plug right now?
Yeah, so I'm on X, got to say with emphasis, formerly known as Twitter. I'm mostly just posting things that I've worked on recently, which is mostly these podcasts. I know you have a lot of things that you're working on.
Always things to work on, always. You know, I'm trying to work on myself right now, trying to become a better person. Beyond that, no. Yeah, so I do have several podcasts to hype. So I am one of the co-hosts of the Anniversary Brothers podcast, which is this podcast. So if you want to hear more from us, they can go here on the Pop Break TV feed to hear some of our past TV episodes, including recent episodes on Futurama and Family Guy. Mm-hmm. And if they want to go and listen to some of our film podcasts, they can go over to the Pop Break Today feed where we have recent episodes, including the Captain America and the Winter Soldier podcast we did, which was a lot of fun and highly encourage people to check that out. Outside of that, people can find me on the Anime Pop podcast where my co-host Amanda Rivas and I every month talk about the ins and outs of anime. We have a very fun episode coming this month where we're going to be talking about Kaiju number 8 and Loser Rangers, two things that are real, I promise you. I'm not making this up.
That's interesting. Loser Rangers.
So it's going to be a fun one. I think we have some guests joining us, so highly encourage people to listen to that. And we've had a really fun year so far covering with some wonderful guests, so highly encourage people to check out some of our previous podcast there, and they can find that on the Pop Break TV feed as well. And then finally, I am also one of the three members of the triumvirate of the TV Break podcast, where every month we talk about everything television, including our picks for the month, which streamer is winning, and we review a new series. So I was unavailable this past month, so unfortunately, I was not able to join Bill and Alex, but it sounds like they had a wonderful time talking about things like X-Men 97, the new Mr. Beast game show, and the Three-Body Problem from Netflix. So again, highly encourage people to check that out, and that can also be found on the Pop Break TV feed. And I'll look forward to being back next month with those guys.
Right. You guys are really into all the streaming services. I know Alex is like, I need my Peacock and my Freevee. And I'm just like, can we take it back to like the mid to late 2000s, like with TV? You know, remember when like people watched ABC? Remember when people watched like cable? That was great.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're hitting critical mass on streaming services. One of these days, it's all going to blow up.
Yeah.
But until that happens, we'll be covering them and their unending battle on TV Break. So with that, Aaron, again, thank you so much for joining me. I hope this was a fun trip down memory lane as always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for all of you listening, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a blast. We hope you will be back next time. And until then, remember, Digimon are the champions.